Yeah. Like the
I thought hell was like an inverted grand man that's all distorted.
It's like, it's in form,
a monster.
The vis-aid, not the reality, I feel. Mm. The vis-aid is that, you know, inversion.
But they're separate.
Yeah, but what do you mean by separate?
Not part of.
Like, not geographically separate.
No, I'm not saying geographically, but if you're if there's a community of good spirits, say in the heart structure, I can't see where the evil spirits fit in there. Now, we're also told that the good spirits have a paradise around them, which is associated with their the type of spirits that they are, and conversely for evil spirits, and of course they're accommodated in that monster, which is the which is in the spiritual world. You can't say where or
whatever,
up, down, whatever.
The other darkness.
it's there, but I can't see how you could run all of this and have them also, and have quite a few of them switch over and drop out and become part of this grand man while they're having this obscure period. But they're in obscure mode, so they all whiz off to this other place.
It sounds chaotic.
Yes.
It sounds chaotic in that sense of, you know, see you guys, you know. I'm out of here because I'm actually feeling, you know.
Not part of you anymore.
Not part of you anymore. So, you know, see you, I'm off. And it's sort of helter-skelter all over the place.
And then others get promoted.
Can I remind you of a passage in the Arcana, and I think it's 3137, sort of round about that anyway, where Swedenborg says, if we could only see with our spiritual sight, we would actually see the affinity and community of spirits who are far distant, maybe in India or Europe, who, under the Lord's sight, are actually forming one cohesive community and are almost touching each other spiritually. Mm. Now, that to me is really approximating what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think you've both got something right, and maybe there's something I can add that might fit it in. You know, like just like particles go through a candle flame, and they're fleeting in their position, but the flame looks coherent in its continual state. You know, people can go up and down in this system through various functions and places in their moment-to-moment state in the spiritual world. But let's say somebody is very, very hellish in their... The grand man needs, say, stomach acids, which are very destructive in terms of being able to pull apart chemical bonds of foods, which are goodness that are required for the nourishment of the body. Mm. You know, and that is a hellish function which somebody who is in that frame of mind or in that inner state can perform. They're not let loose on every part of the body because the body would become a gibbering mass on the floor, right? Mm. It's contained. And that containment is their hell in a way. They're not able to do what they really want to do all the time. But they have a function to perform in the grand man in that sense. So if you relate it back to your own body and the functions, physiological functions and the correspondences of those, it makes a lot more sense what you're saying. And it also allows for what you're saying in that people can go from function to function in that body depending on which state they're in at any point in time. So I kind of agree with both of you in one way. I don't know if that makes any sense, but...
This being the case, how would that affect your life down here? Because we're told that we need to adhere to the basic principles of our church. We need to adhere to the Ten Commandments in our daily living. We need to live the truth, as David has been saying. We need to live the truth. Now, if what you're saying becomes accepted as the, you know, the final outcome, that's going to affect how we're going to live here, because you can think, you can, people can say, well, you know, I don't really need to go through all of this restraining myself and adherence to these onerous rules or laws of living, whichever. I can get away with it. I can once I'm in the other side, okay, I'll do a little bit of penance, but I'm in the good time again. I get my turn. I'll be moved up on the escalator, then I'll go down. So what?
Yeah, but don't see it as 50-50, okay? Because we are attracted to what we love. You are what you love. And if that is primarily, you know, a not good love, we're going to be attracted to that as our major life, eternal life, preoccupation, with occasional moments of sanity and sight, and maybe even, a good gesture coming from some residue in some, you know, I'm just sort of talking out of the top of my head now. And at that moment, anything good becomes collective for, as I'm saying, the entirety of heaven. But it may only be very fleeting. If you have made it for yourself in that form, you know, you can't cop out and say, I'll do what I want here, I'll go out and, you know, rob a bank, rape a woman, whatever, because it's just going to be a roller coaster after death. There is consequence in that sense.
And it may even result in another church having to be formed in order to compensate for all those negativities that we develop by not doing our proper duty to the divine in terms of that suffering and that conscious work that we have to do.
Yeah. Okay. I want to wrap up in a little while because, you know, long day and everything. But
to me, I'm just sort of thinking about the whole process, right? Because, you know, it's so easy to visualize heaven and hell as a space to occupy. We're all just congregating it like we are in this room.
Buddies.
Yeah. That's, you know. So I'm trying to get away from that and internalize that because it has application for us now here. My question then, related to exactly what you're saying, is do we need others to be in hell for our freedom?
Yes.
You mean there are others?
No, we're in.
Yeah, for our freedom.
We are.
To be influenced by evil spirits.
You know, that's a real question, isn't it, you know?
We're figments of your imagination.
Do we carry that balance within ourselves already?
We?
Hereditary. Or do we really need to have others? Because that answers that question as well about whether or not people can actually move. The redemption of everybody eventually ending up in heaven. You know, if we do have that dependency,
if it can move, then
freedom stops if everybody was there. Okay. If that is the case,
okay. Okay.
I just sort of hypothesizing
there. I understand what you're saying. I do feel that actually, we actually are dependent on heaven and hell here in this life's provision for us to be able to work towards our free chosen life's delight, and that must be a setup which is finely managed at all costs, because it's part of the purpose of creation is a heaven of angels from the human race, which is driving everything behind whatever outcomes and swings and roundabouts happen along the way. That's the final drive. Did you want to say something? You're wrong.
What we've got to remember is that the existence of heaven and hell is only due to its existence as a state of being. The there's countless references to the fact that the grand man is the Lord. And by that, my understanding is that the grand man are the relation of all goods and truths. Goods and truths are what are human. Right? And I like aspects of the binary theory myself. What I like about it is that what is redeemed? That's the question. And to me, what the Lord comes for, and this is stated in the Arcana, what the Lord comes for is what is his own in us. Now, to the degree that our sense of self is adjoined to what is good and true, when the Lord takes that, our sense of self goes with it. But in that process, the evils and falsities that make up what my proprium or ego is, they don't go away. They simply get pushed to the outer rim. So, now, what is hell? Hell is the love of self and the love of the world dominating. That's
the inverse of what you've just described.
Yeah, that is what hell is. So, heaven and hell exists in us all, and I don't know if this is helpful or not, but how the way I conceptualize it is that, particularly in this life, our sense of self is constantly shifting. You know, we have this sense of being a continuous self, but it's illusionary. I was saying earlier today to Joe, I think it was, about the fact that whenever you hear or read or gain an insight into some truth, in order for that truth to be accommodated within your whole mind has to be reorganized. So in that moment, for that truth to be accommodated, your whole mind is reorganized. And in that reorganization so our sense of self is being reborn continuously, mm-hmm. moment to moment. And I mean, the Lord says that, you know, like creation is from, maintenance of creation is moment to moment. We are constantly being brought into being. So,
yeah, that's interesting, David. I've tended to understand moment to moment as meaning, you know, don't forget to appreciate it's happening all the time. But you're actually saying moment to moment in a new way, which is about constant reorganization.
Mm.
Which is, you know, I find that very helpful, actually.
Wasn't that one of your logo practice headings? Every moment is a new beginning?
Yeah, it was. Yes.
Can I throw a quick...
Okay, very, 2 minutes, and then dogs need to be fed.
Let out.
just want to go back to... Because we're at the very beginning of the seminar.
Yep.
You got us to focus on something.
Yes.
A fixed point. Yep, you said this point. Stuff goes out to the periphery.
Mm-hmm.
In this world, we're very aware of the periphery. We focus on something, and that drives and pays our attention. In reality, our mind, our eye, iris, is jittery.
Mm-hmm.
It is in constant flux.
Mm-hmm.
If it were not so, what is on the periphery would completely disappear. And we would only see that what is straight ahead of us moving.
Mm-hmm.
What does not move, it will completely disappear. And I see that sort of happening, that once we move out of this external, that jittery goes away, and therefore what's on the periphery will no longer distract us.
That's great.
Sorry,
that's a
nice sort of thing.
Yes, the focal point becomes the life point.
And nothing else.
In that sense, except that there's still flux.
There's still movement.
But it's within that focal point.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. David.
Couple of things. One of the, if I've learned anything from Swedenborg, it's never say never. And I think it's also never say it's inevitable. I think as well. I think there's certainly a lot of stuff within Swedenborg which confirms what you're saying in terms of flux, and I fully appreciate that. And you know, examples of evil spirits being brought up into, you know, and actually acknowledge the reality of what their life is, and then they sink back down. So there's all that sort of stuff. When I'm talking about life after death and heaven and hell, and you often get the question, well, is hell eternal? And one of the things I've always referred to is Swedenborg talks about a state of hell which is not eternal, and he calls it the lower earth experience. To all intents and purposes, while you're in it, it is hell, but it is not permanent. So there's that impermanence about it. On the other hand, I draw back from saying that hell can not be eternal.
Be wound up.
Sorry?
Be wound up. You draw back from that idea.
Yes, I'm
finally winding up hell, or not finally winding up.
I'm cautious about saying that there are, that every person will ultimately be in heaven. And partly because I see people choosing hell. Again and again and again. And in this flux that you've talked about, coming to a more rational understanding of their life and then diving back down into it again, and then coming back up and diving back into it. And that's just, you know, working with people pastorally. On occasion, you see that, and you sort of bang your head against the wall, and you would love them to be able to come to a rational realisation of where they are.
To oscillate up here rather than
absolutely, and be constantly confirming that within their life. So that's sort of where I'm at, really. That I need, and I think Swedenborg gives permission for these things to exist for as long as it takes, and even to eternity.
Thank you. You made a quote earlier on this afternoon that was a double quote in one quote, that was, even though it was like that, yet the Lord would love to bring about, it was like that. Do you remember that quote?
It was in one of the,
that was yours. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
This is one of your quotes. You know, this double in the Lord, and yet the Lord doesn't go in that sense. But the will is to lift everybody up to heaven, and the reality is to cope with people where they are at and in, as it is right now, knowing that they've been created to experience the joy of life.
Now what happens there then when the Lord says that we are not given any more responsibility senses than that we can carry? You know, is it the regeneration process whereby, well, you know, we're not entering into something that we're going to drop again, because if we can't manage that, then, you know, you have that there as well. So
you don't
see,
have anybody to blame but yourself.
Yeah, but I don't see us fluxing up and down in the internal state between heaven and hell extended. I don't see that going up and down as in flexible because of that.
Okay. I actually think that we should stop there. And you know, thank you for bearing with this, and the novelty of that model that is, you know, still unfinal in me, you know. It may change to something else. I'm quite happy about that. But it currently fascinates me in a tantalising way, and seems to dispense with a lot of odd and time and space considerations that heaven and hell, as you said, Cor, seem to throw up so quickly. Concepts of space and separateness and so on, because of language and, you know, racial pass me downs, if I can put it like that. Do you want to say anything about tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
Okay. Go for it.
Oh, was I being recorded?
You were.
No. You're taking his old council of ministers. Victory tomorrow.